Welcome to today's podcast, It's Worth Considering. Does it seem to you that life is a bit out of control? Well, if you think so, you are not alone. This short podcast is to help all of us consider the teachings of Christ, even in these out of control times. I am Pastor David, the assistant pastor at Bethel Gilead Community Church, also known as the Church on Block Road. My co-host for this discussion is Daniel Anderson. We are discussing Sound of Freedom, based on a true story that reveals the true evil of child sex trafficking. It is not a feel-good movie, but a call to action. Christ tells us that darkness will not overcome the light, but the light must shine on the evil of our times. Well, hey there, Daniel. How are you doing?
Hey, David. Doing well.
Good.
Hey, Glad to be here. Thanks for having me again.
Thank you for having me up here. It's always a pleasure to come up and to visit here in Grand Rapids. And so I'm looking forward to our time today. So yesterday was a busy day. I took Kenny back to college and came over here after spending a couple hours at what bookstore is that?
Baker Bookstore. On East Paris, near 28th Street.
Oh, man. Good coffee. Plenty of books, Christian books.
And lots of them used.
Yes. Oh, if you are looking to buy books, this is not an ad for them. And you're looking for Christian books, devotionals, they have more than you could ever imagine. So, but yeah, it was good. And then it came over here and then we went and visited the theater and went to a movie. What movie was it we saw?
The Sound of Freedom.
Yes, had been anticipating coming and watching this. I had seen the trailer a while back and saw that it was coming out on July 4th. And from what I understand, it was a huge success on July 4th, number one in the box office.
Yeah, that is amazing.
So it is an incredible story of a former government agent who turned vigilant and who embarks on a dangerous mission to rescue hundreds of children from sex traffickers. So sounds like a hero's movie, but
yeah,
it was anything but a hero's movie. I mean, afterwards, it just felt as though you're happy for what the outcome was, but you don't have any room to celebrate because you realize, oh, how devastating it was, not only for these two kids, but for all the thousands of kids who are actually trapped in sex trafficking. So, wow.
Yeah, it's not a feel-good movie, but it's an important one to watch, and I certainly hope Christians will support it. It's needed.
Yeah, so you look up on the government webpage, how big of a problem is this? And they kind of reference that also in the movie. How big is that industry?
Well, let's see. I think you called up some stats a minute ago. Maybe it's good to reference that.
Well, we could look at that. You know, so
we didn't. I mean, one thing that hit me was they had the line in the movie that within a five-year period. Now, this movie actually was completed basically 5 years ago. So when they talk about a five-year period, okay, that would have started 10 years ago. So I'm sure by now it's only much worse. But they said within a five-year period that the increase in this problem of sex trafficking went up by 5,000%.
That's the numbers are astronomical.
Yeah.
And when you look at that, $150 billion industry?
Yes, $150 billion. And America is the chief purveyor of it.
Yeah, that's $150 billion per year.
Yeah.
I mean, and it has everything to do with child pornography and subscribing to services online. And then, of course, as this movie lays out, people go to places and find these children, and there's a connection made there by these traffickers. So not only are they used in these movies, but they are, and then they're prostituted out.
Yeah.
So
it's horrific. And to realize, too, that it goes to the highest echelons and that it is an old problem. There was a documentary produced in the 1980s by a mainstream outlet. I forget the name of it. You know, could have been ABC News, something like that. Back when journalists used to do journalism, you know.
But that was a while ago.
Yeah, that was a while ago, where it wasn't just propaganda fake news. But anyway, they investigated, especially a guy named Larry King, not the talk show host.
Oh, good. I was hoping you weren't talking about that Larry.
No, this one from Omaha, Nebraska. He actually was a huge fundraiser for the Republican Party. And so this is not a Democrat-Republican thing. This is a sin thing.
And it is a sin thing because it goes across political lines.
Yeah. Yeah, he was from Omaha, Nebraska, and he was feeding out young boys from Boys Town. That's in Omaha, Nebraska. And he was discovered and prosecuted. But
Nebraska. You would expect to hear that from New York or L.A., but out there in the breadbasket of America, right there in Nebraska.
Yeah, quite horrifying that it's such a... I mean, it could be your neighbor next door, even, and you wouldn't really know. I mean, often what happens is it's even a family member, even a parent, who maybe is simply... I don't want to use offensive words, but, you know, subletting their daughter or son right out of their house. And so you could have a neighbor like that and maybe not even know it.
There is a lot that goes on that, well, under the cloud of darkness that people have within their own homes. You know, so when I look at some of the statistics, and they gave some statistics during the movie, but, you know, there are 152 million children in child labor. And they showed some of that, and they're actually being used for, you know, working agriculture, or they're doing other things. They're stolen, and they're working in sweatshops. And this country has had many busts where illegal children, you know, 7, 8 years old, are working long hours. And, you know, this is, you think, oh, I thought this is history class, but it's going on today.
Yeah, and it talks about the economic feasibility of it, that they said, I forgot exactly the stats, but when it comes to drugs, of course, you have the drug, you sell it, they use it, okay, now they want to come back, get more drugs. You have to have this constant supply, right? You sell it, it's used, you got to sell again, right? Whereas they were saying with having children, or not just children, right? Or in not just sex slavery, other forms of slavery, but anyway, that, well, with children, they said 4 or 5 tricks a night.
That's crazy. And so, you know, you look about the industry, and that's why it's $150 billion, you know, that they're bringing in a year. And then the movies, every time they show child pornography, you know, there's money being made. And it's all about money. It's all about money and greed at the cost of human life.
Yeah.
I thought the interesting statistic that they said is that there are more slaves today than there was in the time when slavery was legal.
Yeah.
And that's happening right here in this country, as well as, of course, other countries. And so, well, it's other countries. We don't have to be afraid. And the numbers are staggering. And so quickly can a child be taken, snatched, and all of a sudden they're lost in the system.
Well, and right now the way that that's happening is through the open southern border. Tour just recently, it was reported a month or so ago that 185,000 children are missing, and that the way that these children are fed in, not that the government necessarily is complicit in it, maybe by
maybe members
being
are
overwhelmed.
Sure.
And certain members are, I would imagine,
turning a blind eye to it.
Yeah, because the child will come unaccompanied and have something maybe stitched into their shirt saying, okay, call Uncle so-and-so at this number. And so they get that, they call the uncle, yep, sure enough, oh, wonderful, my niece is here, that's great. And then our government, at tax expense, of course, is flying them out there, unvetted.
Yeah. I mean, so they're taking advantage of the crisis we have down on the border and using it as a means to, well, to transport children at the taxpayer's expense. And these children coming to America, a place that they're thinking they're going to have freedom, is anything but freedom.
Yeah.
Now, we'll talk a little more about that in a second. But so here are some other interesting statistics that, you know, we talk about 152 million children are in child labor. Now, 48% of those are from the ages of 5 to 11. 5-year-olds to 11. That's almost half of those kids.
Yeah.
And there's no consent there. 28% are, you know, from 12 to 14 years old. And then another 24% are from the age of 15 to 17 years old. I mean, that is just crazy. Now, when you look and you break that down to gender, you're looking at 58%. 88 million are boys, and 42% or 64 million are little girls.
And they had the line in the movie about how they asked, how many pedophiles have you caught? You know, this number. Okay, and how many children have you found? Like the answer was zero.
Exactly. And that is the key. That's what turned this whole thing around, is when this, you know, special agent had looked at that and he says, yeah, we're getting all these pedophiles, but where are the children? Where are the children?
Well, the horrifying fact that the movie didn't bring out is that oftentimes what happens is after the child has been used, they don't want the child found and identified and being as incriminating evidence. So they murder the child.
Yeah, they're disposable.
And they did bring out, I think, some of them. That's part of what they'll pay for, is for that that perverse desire of even murdering a child for sexual gratification.
Yeah, that becomes the end line, you know. And so you think, how could the depravity be so bad? But it's just really showing us why we are needing redemption. Matter of fact, there is a story within the story of redemption, and one of the key people was actually a former drug lord, and his storyline as it unfolds, because this agent asked him, "You are a drug lord. Why is it that you are now purchasing children out of the system, you know, to set them free?"
Yeah.
And he tells his personal story about how, for, you know, he was a drug lord and in the cartel, and murder and sex and drugs was all a part of that. And he spent his 15 years in prison, not giving up any information. And after his release, you know, he had the nice condo on the beach. He was set up. And he hired a hooker, paid for a hooker to come at 25 years old and paid her and everything else. And then he glanced down at her toes, strange as it is, as the story goes, and he notices that this 25-year-old lady had painted her toenails with these, how do you say, childlike images, little pictures that a little girl would do. And he looked up into her face and caught her eyes and realized, this isn't a 25-year-old lady. This is a 14-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Dressed up as a 25-year-old lady. And he looked at that. And then he asked her and talked to her and found that she had been in this business since the age of 6.
Mm-hmm.
And here she was, 15, made to look like a 25-year-old. Well, this just kind of rocked his world. And after she left and he realized the depravity that he saw, the darkness he saw in her eyes, was actually a reflection of himself.
Yeah.
And unable to even live with that, he was like, and this guy is just shaken, he was a former drug lord, he put a gun to his head and was going to kill himself. And he says, at any time in your life, if you're thinking that you're going to meet God, it's when you have a gun to your head and you're going to end it and say, well, if he exists, am I going to want to meet him like this? And so he put the gun down and realized, no, I don't. And then it was though he said, when God tells you that you need to do something,
yeah,
you do it. And that's when this guy heard from God, you need to rescue these children.
Yeah.
And so he spent the rest of his life, and it's part of the story of rescuing, purchasing, okay, these children. It's kind of interesting because in the story, you look at this guy, he's a cigar-smoking, whiskey-drinking guy and living in Mexico, and he's rescuing children.
Yeah.
But wow. And so that's part of the storyline. And then we realize that it is about the children. As much as you want to arrest the pedophilers and stuff like that, and the people who are having the downloading all this pornography, he realized the real victims are still out there.
Yeah.
And so that's where the story goes. He's an agent. He quits his job. He has 10 months before he can actually, you know, be fully invested in his retirement. His wife and together they have 4 or 5 kids. She says, you got to rescue these kids. And so that's where the story goes. It's about him looking for the sister of one of the boys that he had at first had rescued.
Yeah. And the tagline for it was that God's children are not for sale.
Oh, my. Mm. God's children. And that is such a strong piece. And you hear that a couple times during the movie. Matter of fact, when this, you know, cigar-smoking, whiskey-drinking former drug lord looked at this agent across the table and says, why are you in this?
Mm-hmm.
And you're waiting. Does it make you feel good? Are you happy about it? His response was, well, yeah, but God's children are not for sale.
Yep.
And that's where the bond then was that's where the bond was created between these two and the mission.
Yeah.
So there's some other characters too.
Now, you know, something interesting about that though, is that's explicitly theological.
What do you mean?
God's children. So apart from that Christian backdrop, do you have sufficient grounding for morality at all? Because now let me play the devil's advocate, okay? Surely we all disagree with slavery. Let's just start that as a given, okay? But hey, now let me go there. Now I'm using this to speak facetiously, all right? But, you know, love is love.
So what do you mean love is love? Give me a little more description of that. It's a nice little tagline.
You know, we're both married men, right? So we know what it is to be intimate with one's wife and to show love and to experience that, to appreciate that, to create more bonding. It's good. It's beautiful. It's a gift of God. And so that's what it is.
You're taking this line of thinking and saying, listen, God's children are not for sale. And you're directly now going at this line of thinking that the only way in which that holds of any value is if it's true.
Yeah. Yeah. But let's say it's not. Let's say, well, we're going to at least put this on the table, which perhaps also there's no grounding for, and that is that slavery is wrong. Okay, so we want consensual intimacy, okay? And, you know, children, I mean, they're of the age now, even if they're in elementary school, where parents could be kept from the information by the public school system and the teachers, for the children to, you know, take hormone treatments and then even, you know, or abortions or leading up to cutting off body parts, you know, without the parents' consent or knowledge. So certainly children are apparently our society's accepting is capable of making really weighty life-changing decisions. Okay, well, then why not the one about being intimate, you know?
All right, so let me back this up a little bit here. So in other words, you're saying the only real way in which you can legitimize this war against child trafficking, the only way that you can legitimize anything is that you have to have a belief in God.
Yeah. I mean, it seems to me...
Otherwise, everything's open. Everything.
Yeah.
Slavery is just, you know, one more ticket on the list of things that... Maybe it isn't so bad.
Well, yeah, even that. I mean, I was just saying, hey, let's put it on the table, even though it's gratuitous, that slavery is wrong. Okay, but now how do you get rid of pedophilia? Because, you know, the pedophile, that is how they are attracted. And, you know, when somebody has this, they can't help it.
Okay,
it's what they're born with.
All right, so
You need to love them, respect them. We're not saying that we allow them to have slavery or to cause physical harm, no. But, you know, if it's a 40-year-old man with a 6-year-old child and it's consensual and the child's enjoying it, hey, man, love is love.
So just to make sure that this not what you're advocating.
Right.
That you are actually just playing this out about how stupid it is.
Yeah.
But at the same token, the only way it can be so stupid and shake you to the core is to realize that there is objective truth, that there is a God who sets standards for morality, and without him, everything is open love. Everything is what you want. And that may sound really crazy, but there is, in fact, movements going on that's defending child.
They're following all the same arguments that were used for gay marriage.
Yeah. Oh, they are. And now you look down this road and say, well, hold it. You know, I was fine with people doing whatever they want to do in the privacy of their own house. But now they've taken that line of thinking, and the trajectory is exactly where we're at now. What you presented in a very facetious way is, in fact, where that line of thinking will take you. And you say, well, hold it. I never meant for it to go that way. I never meant for that train to travel that far down the track.
Yeah.
But that's the destination it will eventually go to.
Yeah. And then we were asking earlier, sitting on the front porch, so then what do we do? Well, here's one thing that we do, is to realize that there is a real theological, moral, spiritual base to this. So one thing to do regarding this horrendous evil, this horror of child trafficking for sex, is know God, love God, be transformed into his image, have that play out in your house, including what you don't watch on television. You don't have moral filth coming on your television, infecting you, but then affecting children around it, even if they're just not really understanding or checking it out here and there, the kind of atmosphere spiritually and morally that one creates in their home. I'd heard about one so-called Christian family, and there were a bunch of them together, and some other members of the family came, and they realized that they were watching some... It was popular television, it wasn't actually porn, but, you know, by the way that's gone now, it's so filthy, disgusting, that we're being desensitized to this stuff and creating this, you know, America's a sex-crazed culture.
Okay, one second here, all right? Now, I remember when I wanted to become a member at First Alliance, I had to meet with the elders, and there was questions that were going. And one of the things in which they presented was, do you go to movies? You know, and I think, seriously, you mean I can't go to the movie theater? And I said, well, you understand that though you go and watch a decent movie, it's still going to support an industry that is putting out all these filth, all these filthy movies. And I said, yeah, but that's not where my money's going to. We just want you to understand that. And I thought, you know, this is here. This is the 1980s. And I think that's crazy. This is just legalism and just taking it to an extreme. But when you look at where things are at today, they were right.
Yeah.
They were exactly right. Again, it was further down the road than I could see. But today, when you are subscribing to, well, it's okay, it's not that bad, it is going to an industry that, in fact, does, okay, produce the filth and the rot and the decay of our society. Where this movie, it's not.
Right.
Now, it's using the theaters, right, to go and to put it out there, and then eventually it's going to be streamed. That's why for Christians to go to this movie and to be able to support it, it's put out by Angel Studios, the same ones who do The Chosen.
Right.
Extremely important.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and my grandmother and my dad told me, used to argue the same way that you were just describing. And I used to think that was silly and ridiculous. I mean, my goodness. She's talking about the movies from the 1920s and 30s, for crying out loud. But then you look into a little bit of the inception of Hollywood. Charlie Chaplin, he was a pedophile. And you look into even Mae West or Valentino. So many of these figures, they actually were channelers of demons. They'd say it themselves. And they were very much sexualizing. And then you get into Marilyn Monroe. And even, I mean, I actually cried when I heard Elvis Presley died. I was a kid in the late 70s.
Because you love playing the guitar.
Yeah. But, you know, when he died with a book about sex magic. that he was reading at the time.
I mean, there's a lot of things, and we can take this and we can say, okay, I'm going to become Amish, you know, meaning that I'm just going to pull away from society. But if you go to buy a hamburger at the local meat market, right?
Right.
And the guy who owns the shop isn't necessarily a morally upright, aren't you in fact supporting somebody whose business is going to be spending money on things that are not right? And the answer is, yeah, that is true. I think when it becomes so evident, so blatant, and that it's in your face, that you realize that many times this is the reason by which they produce somewhat okay movies, so that they can then produce the other ones that are pushing their agenda. Thank you for spending time to listen to today's podcast, the first in the series, The Sound of Freedom. We hope you continue to tune in and don't drop out as we continue with conversations that make a difference in our lives. Until the next time, go out as God's ambassadors, commissioned to a world in desperate need of the gospel. God bless.